Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Daf Samach. We're going to begin in the afternoon, Tesama base, three lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Hu Chavita, there was a barrel of wine. Chavita Chaim, a barrel of wine, the Shtak Labarza. The spigot from which the wine was poured out was removed. And obviously, if the spigot was removed, the wine started leaking out. Also, Avik Chavim, the Akum, seeing what happened, Idri Anach Yadelai, he put his hand on the hole to prevent the wine from pouring out. And as the Rishonim and Achronim frame the Gemara's discussion, they indicate, the Taisha says that the Goy did not actually put his fingers or his hand into the hole. Because if he would have put his fingers or his hand into the hole, then that would be a case of Maga Akum. And as we learned, Maga Akum prohibits the wine. He only put his hand from the outside. And because of that, Rashi says that the only issue under discussion here is an issue of Isser Ach Shtiyah, a prohibition to drink the wine. But in terms of benefiting from this wine, that would be mutter. And therefore, Amra Papa, called the Lahadi Barza, any wine that's right next to the hole where the Akam put his hand is Asr. Vidach, and the rest of the wine is Shari. As we just said, Rashi says Shari means it's mutter, even Bachila Ubahano. The wine next to the hole is completely Asr. A number of questions. One question, simple question. It's one thing if I have in front of me a number of items. I could say that this item is mutter, this item is asr. Here we have a barrel of wine. And in the barrel of wine, there's a certain amount of wine which is right next to the hole that the Gemara is saying is asr. And the rest of the wine is mutter. But you can't separate out that wine from the rest of the wine. So how are you supposed to do that? So the way the Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is not to say that you'll be able to drink any of this wine. None of this wine will ever be permitted to be drank. What you'll have to do is, you'll have to separate out the value of the wine, and no, some of the wine is in this category and some of the wine is in that category. Another question that the Mefarshim ask is, we learned the sugya the other day, the sugya of Nitzik Chibur. That if you're pouring from one bottle, you're connecting kosher wine with non-kosher wine through the stream, connects the two. So ask the Mefarshim, if Nitzik, when you have two separate containers, just as a flow from one to the next, connects the two, certainly when they're in one container, it should be no worse than Nitzik. And therefore, why are we separating that only the wine next to the hole is a problem and the rest of the wine is not a problem? Answer the Mefarshim, a big chiddush. The only time we use the concept of nitzik is where the wine is visible. As in this case, when you're pouring wine from one container into another case, that's the classical case of nitzik. But when the wine is not visible, like in our case, the wine is all behind a barrel, we could separate different parts of the wine, some being mutter, some being asr. The Rishonim also asked, we learned in the previous year, yesterday's year, that the Gemara discussed the case where Akum's Esrik fell into a barrel of wine, and the Akum put his hand in there to retrieve it, and we learned that the Esrik, as long as he kept his hand there and didn't take it out, is mutter. And we explained, we didn't explain, Tosfos explained, that the reason it's mutter is because since the Akum is torrid, that's the wording of Tosfos, he's preoccupied with trying to save the Esrig. He's not thinking about being Menasech the wine. So I asked the Rishonim, why is this case any different? The Akum here sees this hole in the barrel, the spigot fell out. So he's just trying to save the wine from spilling out. So why don't we use the concept of torrid? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is that you only apply the concept of torrid when the Akum were the only person that could save it. So there we say the Akum sees here that there's a loss about to happen. So it becomes his obligation to try to save it. But if there are other individuals who could save it, then we don't say the concept of Torah. And that's exactly the case here. There are other people who could, there were other Yisraelim there, so we don't apply the concept of Torah. One Teretz Yisrael under Rishonim. Another Teretz Yisrael under Rishonim is that here we're referring to a situation where the Akum, it's taking a while till somebody comes with a spigot or whatever to close up the hole. So yes, the first moment that the Akum comes to close up the hole, we could apply the concept of Torah. He's here just trying to save the wine. But now it's taking a while. Since it's taking a while, we no longer could say the concept of Torah. V'yikad Amri, others, however, say, Amra Papa, Rapapa's opinion is, Ara Barza Chamra Asa, all the wine from on top of the barrel till the hole is all, so to speak, going to leak out because the wine goes down. And therefore, all of that wine is Asr. Vidach, the wine below the hole, which the Akum is really not doing anything constructive, because it wouldn't have spilled out of the hole, because it's below that level, is Shari. Amar Rav Yemer. So Rav Yemer suggests, Ketanoi, that these two versions of what Rav Papa said, is really a Machlokes Tanur. Because it says, in a Mishnah Masechta Tefil Yoyim, Chavish Shenikva, if you have a barrel that has a hole, Beimi Pia, whether the hole is on tap of the barrel, Beimi Shule, whether it's on the bottom, Beimi Tzedel, or whether it's on the side of the barrel, V'nogba Tefil Yoyim, and the halacha is as follows. If a person is Tamei, he has to go to the mikveh. But just going to the mikveh itself, we've discussed this previously, doesn't make you Tahar. The day you go to the mikveh, you call the Tefil Yoyim. And you're not completely Tahar until Harav Shemesh, until night comes. To what degree? To the degree that if someone who's a Tefil Yoyim touches Truma, that Truma becomes Pasul. That Pasul always means that it becomes Tamei, but it does not have the ability to transmit Tumah further. So here we're referring to a situation where this barrel of Truma wine develops a hole, and according to the opinion of the Tanakama, it makes no difference where the hole is. The Loch is Tamei. Mefarshim ask, given what I just said a second ago, that the word Tamei seems to be inappropriate. Because, as I said, the difference between the word Tamei and the word Pasul means that Tamei means it's a situation where Tumah could spread further, and Pasul means that it can't spread further. And as I explained, here, he's a Tefil Yoyim, and the Tumah can't pass further. So why does the Braisa use the word, why does the Mishnah use the word Tamei? But first answer, because according to the opinion of Tanakama, all of the wine in that barrel that has the hole that was touched by the Tefil Yoyim is Tamei. If we use the word Pasul, we perhaps would erroneously assume that the Tanakama holds that only the spot where he touches that wine is Pasul, not the rest of the barrel. So that's why the Tana uses a stronger wording of Tamei to indicate that all of the wine in that barrel is Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda opinion, however, is Mipiyo Mishulahel, the wine on the top and the wine on the bottom is Tamei. Very simply, why? The wine on top, since and now the Tefil Yoyim touches that hole, so all of the wine is considered like a bosses. All of the wine is considered like a base of that spot that the Tefil Yoyim touched. And on the bottom, the same thing. All of the wine is considered that he touched it because it all could leak out from the bottom is Tamei. Mitzideya, but if the hole is on the side, Tahar Mikan, the one on top and bottom of the hole is Tahar. Very much consistent with Rav Papa said regarding Maga Akum. Continues the Gemara. Omra Papa, Oivik Echavim Adono. If we have a situation where the Oivik Echavim is holding the barrel of wine, Yisrael is holding a pitcher of wine, and the Akum pours the wine from the barrel into the pitcher, usher. That wine will become usher. Why? Because kika usher chamra, my tama, kika usher, the wine that's coming, it's coming because of the guy pouring the wine, and it's no different than the case that we learned before, that it's like Ovi Kachavim that was Moizik the wine, and when Ovi Kachavim is Moizik the wine becomes Asur. Most Rishonim are of the opinion, Tysus discusses this, most of the Rishonim are of the opinion that the wine is not only Asur Vishtiyah, it's even Asur Bahanah. Although Tysus and other Rishonim say a very Bechidish. They say that this is only referring to a situation where the Akum, and this is what the Gemara really means to say, is working completely on his own. However, if the Akum could not have poured this wine without the assistance of the Jew, that means he's pouring it from the big barrel into the small pitcher, and if not that the Yisrael would be helpful, it wouldn't be poured, then the halacha was to change. And therefore, says the Gemara, vice versa, Yisrael Adana, if we have that the Yisrael is pouring from the barrel, Vavikachavim Akuva, and the Akum is holding the pitcher, Chamrishari. Why? Because the one that's pouring from the barrel, provided, as we've been learning, he could do all of this by himself. So the holder of the pitcher is really not of any significance here. Therefore, the halach is the wine is mutter, because we only look at the person who's pouring the barrel, and that's the Yisrael. However, the mitzadeh datsudi, if it's a situation where the Jew cannot have gotten the wine from the barrel into the pitcher without the assistance of the akum, the halach is that it's asur. Why? Because it's considered like koichai, and we're going to have the Gemara soon, it's considered like the akum has a very vital role in the pouring of the wine. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rapapa. Hai Ovi Kachavim the Dori Zika. An Ovi Kachavim is carrying a flask of wine. The Ka'azal Yisrael Achurei. And Yisrael is walking behind him. And as the Rishonim explained, the point of the Yisrael walking behind the Akum is that he could observe and see if the Akum did anything with this wine. Says Rapapa, if the flask of wine is malya, is completely full, shari, then the wine remains permitted. Why does the wine remain permitted? Deloy mekarkish. As we've learned many times, the act of nisuch involves shaking the wine, agitating the wine. But if you have a flask that's completely full, it's full till the top, so there's no room for shaking because the flask is completely full, so therefore we have nothing to be concerned about. There are Rishonim that say a very bechiddush, that if, on the other hand, chseira, when the flask is not completely full, so the Akum has the ability to agitate the wine, usur, dilma makarkish. Many Rishonim take the word out, dilma makarkish. Some Rishonim say, vadei makarkish. Because if I'm carrying something, and it's not completely full, it's going to shake around, because there's empty space. And that's where they take out the word dilma, they just keep the word makarkish. Others, however, leave the word dilma makarkish, and it's relevant to an interesting machlokes Rishonim. The Rishonim, as I said, the Gemara says, that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the Jew is walking behind the Akum. What would be the halacha if the Jew is not walking behind the Akum, he's walking alongside the Akum? What would be the din then? Some Rishonim say it doesn't really make a difference. Other Rishonim say if the Jew is walking right along the Akum, then it's mutter. Why? Because there has to be some action that we see that the Akum is doing with Shem Avodah Zarah. So if he's walking behind the Akum, so he only could see that much, and the flask is not completely full, we need to be concerned that he's maybe agitating the flask. But when he's walking alongside the Akum, that concern doesn't exist, and therefore, it's mutter. He could observe him better. And that's why others say, however, if he walks alongside the Akum, he'll remain mutter. Furthermore, as I was about to say, there's some Rishonim that suggest that this entire din of the Gemara only applies if the Akum lifted this flask from the floor. But if the Akum did not lift the flask from the floor, the Rishonim suggest that that's not considered Derech Nisach, it's not considered the way they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and will be mutter. Other Rishonim go on to say that let's say the Akum is carrying this flask of wine, but he's not carrying it in his hands, particularly in those times. We see it still now sometimes. They used to carry packages on their head. If they're carrying it on the head, that's not the normal way of carrying. So even if the barrel, the flask, is not completely full, and as we've just been learning, when the flask is not completely full, certainly some of the wine is moving around, it will be mutter. Kuva. If you have an open barrel of wine that the Akum is transporting, if it's malya, if it's completely full, usur. The wine is usur. Why? Because we need to be concerned, since the wine is going all the way till the rim, it's so very accessible, and since it's very accessible, we need to be concerned, Dimonoga, perhaps the wine was touched by the Akum. However, Chaseira, if the wine isn't reaching the rim, and the Akum is preoccupied with carrying the wine, and as we said, the Yisrael is walking behind him, so it's not that easy for him to stick his hand into this barrel, Chaseira Shari. Why? The Lainaga, he certainly didn't touch it. Continues the Gemara Ravashi Amar. Ravashi, however, says, Zika, if you have a flask that's closed, makes no difference, Bein Malya, Bein Chaseira, whether it's open, whether it's full or not full, Shari. He disagrees with Rav Papa, and he holds that if the flask is sealed, but not sealed, even if it's not full, it will be mutter. Why? Because the halacha is, because ein derech nisa b'kach. And the machlokes Rishonim had to understand what ein derech nisa b'kach. One, the simplest way of understanding ein derech nisa b'kach is that they never did nisach on a closed barrel. Another pshat is that the concern is only that the Akum is actually going to touch the wine. But here, where it's impossible for the Akum to touch the wine, because this flask is sealed, there is no concern lahalocha. Continues the Gemara. Matzra Zaira is a wine press. Now the way it worked with a wine press was as follows. We're not going into too much detail. The way it worked was you had the grapes, you had them spread out, you had a beam on top of those grapes, and you had a screw that when you screwed the screw, the beam would go down on the grapes and crush them. Says the Gemara, Matzra Zaira. And the guy is the one that's operating this press. Rav Papa Shari, Rav Papa holds that is not Osir, that it's Mutter. Rav Ashi Vitamer of Simi Bar Ashi says that if the guy is operating that type of wine press, the wine is Osir. Says the Gemara, just to put the Gemara into practical terms. You could have this set up in one of two ways. You could have it set up in a way where, as I explained, the guy screws it and the grapes are immediately pressed. We could have like a chain reaction that he presses something and that causes the screw to go and that causes the press to go. The first way is called koichai. The second way is called koichai. And actually, as all the Rishonim say in explaining our Gemara, you could have more than just koichai. You could have the koichai removed more than twice. You could have koichai removed to many times. And the way the Rishonim explained that our Gemara is differentiating between koichai and koichai, it doesn't make a difference if it's twice removed or 10 times removed. If it's koichai, it's one category. And it's kayach kayachai, doesn't make a difference if it's twice removed or 10 times removed, it's all another category. Furthermore, I saw that the Chazon Ish explains that we've actually encountered the concept of kayachai in other areas of halacha. Most notably, we learned the halachas of kayachai when it comes to nezakin, when it comes to damage, where a person didn't do the damage directly, it only was a cause by him, or we learned kayachai in Masechet Sanhedrin, when it comes to somebody killed somebody else because of koichai. Says the Chazon Ish, we are not to confuse the concept of koichai of stam yenam to the concept of koicha in other areas of halacha. In other areas of halacha, the issue of koicha is actually an issue of groma ben zaken. It's one concept in halacha. Today we're not learning the concept of groma ben zaken. We're learning a whole different concept. So says the Gemara. B'koicha kulam le'pligad asr. When it's koicha, says Rav Ashi, that's considered a direct act of the akum, and the wine will certainly be asr. Ki pligi, when do we have a machlokes? He says b'koicha koichai. But then says the Gemara, there's a different version. Ikadam b'koicha koichai, if it wasn't a direct result of the akum's action, kulam le'pligad asr, everybody agrees that it's mutter. Ki pligi, the question is if it's b'koichai. Says the Gemara, have of the b'koich koichai. There was a situation where the akum didn't press the wine b'koich koichai asr, and they said that wine was asr. It would work with a wheel causing the screw to turn, and then the screw causing the press to go down. Says the Gemara, Rav Yaakov and Rav Koid, v'asr Rav Yaakov and Rav Koid, and Rav Yaakov and Rav Koid said the koich koichai is asr. Says the Gemara, hu chavita. There was a barrel of wine. Difkal arka. It split down the length. And as the Rishonim explained, this is referring, as was typical the case in the times of Chazal, of a barrel made out of earthenware. Where barrels made out of earthenware weren't easily put together. A wooden barrel, you could just put in a screw that'll put it together. An earthenware barrel, you can't put a screw in. So since you can't put a screw there, and this barrel is just, if it's going to be left open, all the wine is going to leak out. Difkal orka, idrehu av the chavim, and therefore, a guy came, chavka, hugged it, so to speak, to keep it together. Shaya, rav from Bapapa, v'tem rav hunabre v'shul, zvun el akam. He allowed it only to be sold, but he did not allow it to be drank, he wasn't allowed to drink it. Again, osabach shtia, mutabah hanah, because it's considered maga akum. Why is it considered maga akum? Because if not for the act of the akum, this wine certainly would have leaked out. However, says the Gemara, hani mili, that's only said, the pakal arka when the split was along the length of the barrel. Avla pusya, if the length would have been across the middle, where the top and the bottom, so to speak, split, afil bishtari shaya. Then, there's no, and the akum is putting his hands to keep them together, it's still my mutter. Why tama? My tama? Why is so? My slovenica avid. He's not really doing anything. Because, as the Rishonim explained, had he not kept it together, just left it alone, nothing would have happened. Where it's split in the length, left alone, all the wine would have leaked out. Here, you just could have left it that way. So the act of the akum is not considered a significant act, and that's why it's mutter. Says the Gemara, "Hu avik chavim teshtaka davakayim mitzarta." There was an akum that was caught standing in the wine press, and now the question is, if he touched the wine press was empty, but if he touched the walls of the wine press, and the walls of the wine press are still moist, we need to be concerned that the wine press now, because of maga akum, becomes non kosher, and is kashering required or not? On Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi makes the following determination. If there's so much wine left on the walls of this wine press, that if you touch the wall, it's so wet that when your fingers get wet from that wine, you'll not put your finger on something else. It can make it wet. That's considered a significant amount of wine. And now because the akum touched it, kashering is required. What is the kashering that's required? Boy hadocha uboy nigov. And as we're going to learn towards the end of the Masechta Daf Ayin Hey, what does hadocha and nigov mean? The proper way of doing it, and again we'll describe it more at length when we get there, Mitzvah Shem, is that first you rinse the walls of this press, then you scrub it with earth, rinse again, and scrub again. However, if there isn't that much moisture left on the walls of the, if there isn't so much moisture left on the walls of the wine press, badoch ba'al masagalu, it's not considered a significant amount of wine, and since it's not considered a significant enough amount of wine, hadoch is enough. So Mefarshim make a number of points. One is, they say that this is an interesting point. It's only referring to a barrel that hasn't been used that much. So therefore, this wine that he touched becomes non-kosher wine. And then that non-kosher wine gets absorbed, because we're talking about cheres, which is highly porous, gets absorbed into the walls of this barrel, and we now have a concern. But if it's a barrel that was used many times for kosher wine, bichidish, so it's already fully absorbed with kosher wine, the halacha would be different. Another point is, what's the difference? The Mefarshim asked Maman of Shach. We could understand, they say, that the wine has to have a certain amount of wine. And the Gemara said that what's the amount of wine that's there that will create a problem with this wine press? You have tefechem naslatfir. That's understandable. Anything less is not considered a significant enough amount of wine that could acid the walls. But the question that they ask is, why does the Gemara say that if you have less than that, if you love the last words of the Gemara we just learned, that you even have less wine than the shear of tefechem naslatfir, you have a problem. Why do you have a problem? It should be completely mutter. You have really no wine. So some Rishonim explain that indeed, technically, there would be no requirement for any action. It's only because of Maris Ayin. Because of Maris Ayin, people do see that there is some moisture, and they do see that the Akum touched it, so they're not going to understand how we're allowing this barrel to be used without any process at all. That's why Chazal said du hadachum. That's how I saw some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim I saw explain that there is a difference, because the entire issue here is an issue of absorption. It's an issue of blia. The more you have, the more blia is a concern. So if you have so much wine, that's tefeich amnas latfiach, so now we have a concern of blia, and that's why you have to go through the whole process. But if you have much, if you have less wine than that, there is no concern of blia, and therefore full kashering is not required. Says the Mishnah. Habar Shayayin. An Ayv Kechavim is found standing next to a barrel of wine. Says the Mishnah, Im Yesh Loi Milva Olav, if the, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, the guy has a lien on that wine, the Jew who owns that wine owes money to the Akum, and he has a lien on that wine, then the wine is Asr. Why? Because we need to be concerned that the guy, given the feeling that he owns this wine, because he has this lien on it, touched it. Eloi milva olav, if there is no lien on that wine, mutter. So the Rishonim say, certainly, and this is going to become more of an issue in tomorrow's Shia Be'ezer Hashem, certainly they say that if it's a situation where the wine has two seals, chaysim b'tai chaysim, then there's no concern. We are referring here to a situation where it has no seals. What will be the halacha if it has only one seal? That is indeed a machlokes apaiskim, if that wine is certainly mutter, or that wine is certainly not mutter. Mefarshim go on to explain, why does the Mishnah speak about a case of shenimtza, that he's found there? To explain that not only in a situation where the akum is there on a full, on a regular basis, we be concerned that the akum touched the wine, but it's even if it's a situation shenimtza, he just came temporarily, we need to be concerned. How much is nimtza? What is considered that it's considered next to the wine? Mefarshim say that if he's there within 10 tefachim, that's considered too close for comfort. Furthermore, of course, the Rishonim say, and we're going to learn this tomorrow, if there's a Yisrael standing there watching, and the Yisrael says that he saw that the Akum didn't touch the wine, that's fine. But here, there's a very important shach, and the shach is going to be relevant to everything we're going to learn till the end of the parak. Our Gemara here is saying that our Mishnah and Gemara are beginning to discuss situations where we need to be, where we do or don't need to be concerned, did the Akum touch the wine? Says the Shach. That's only in a place where the Akum is aware that by him touching the wine, he makes the wine non-kosher. So the Akum recognizes that what he's doing is an issue. So now, we start to evaluate, the Mishnah and the Gemara start to evaluate, will that deter the Akum from touching the wine? Will it not deter the Akum from touching the wine? But if we're talking, I would presume that's the case of most Akum. They're not familiar with Hilchas Kashrus. So they don't know that their touching the wine would make the wine usur. So they see a barrel of wine, and what's the problem with them touching the barrel of wine in their mind? They don't recognize the repercussions of them touching it. Says the Shach, very relevant Laloch Lamaisa, that any time you have an Akum that doesn't know the repercussions of him touching the wine, then it doesn't make a difference. If the Akum is near the wine, we have to be concerned that he touched it. Because innocently, he didn't realize what he was doing. Continues the Mishnah. Nafalabar, if the Akum fell in to the wine press, V'ola, and then he came out, Ummada the Bakana, if he used a measuring stick, they used to use measuring sticks to see how much wine is left in the wine pit or in the barrel. Or Hatis is a Tzira Bekana, or there's a bee flying around the tap of the wine and he wants to chew it away. Oy Shahaya Matviach Apichavis Mursachas. What happens is, as the wine begins to ferment, many times a foam develops on tap. And he wants to skim away that foam. B'chol elu ha'yumaisa. All of these were relevant shilas. V'am yumacher. And Chazal said that the Akum who touched the wine in this way, the wine becomes asa b'shtia. It's only mut banah, and the Jew has to sell it. However, the Rishonim point out, that's only in a situation where the Akum didn't use his hand. But let's say the Akum would have not just used a stick to measure the wine, but he would have stuck in his hand. Or he would have used his hand to chase away the bee. Or he would have used his hand to skim off the foam. That would be much worse. And Rishonim say the data halach would be that that's considered real maga akum, and that wine would not just be osa b'shtiyah, it would also be osa b'hanah. Rav Shimon disputes this. Rav Shimon says mata. And we'll explain the basis for Rav Shimon in the Gemara. Notlos achavis. If an akum picked up a barrel of wine, the zork b'chamosoi lebar, and he throws it in his anger into a bar. Zayim Maisa, such an event once happened. V'chshira, and they said that the wine in the bar remained kosher. This too will be explained in Gemara. So we learned the first halacha in the Mishnah was that if we find an akum standing next to a barrel of wine, it makes a difference if the akum without double seals. It makes a difference if the akum does or doesn't have milva on this wine. If he has a lien on that particular wine, what is Shmuel teaching us? What Shmuel is teaching us is that just because the Jew owes the Akum money, but there is no lien on that particular barrel of wine, then the halacha would be very different. It's only because he has a lien on this particular barrel of wine, that causes him to feel very comfortable with this barrel of wine, and that's what causes him to believe that he should be allowed to touch it. And says the Gemara, Amar v'ashi, masnisa namideka. If we learn the Mishnah tomorrow's shir, the Mishnah very much points us in this direction. The Tanan, we're going to learn in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Amitar yeinoi shel akum, if somebody is making kosher wine, v'nosnoi, and he's left this barrel of wine in the Akum's property, and the Akum writes to the Jew, Hiskabalti Mchamos, that as far as I'm concerned, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow shir, the Akum says, as far as I'm concerned, this wine is completely yours, then mutter. The wine is mutter. And again, as I said, we'll discuss under what circumstances. There has to be some sort of shmira. This has to be some sort of ashgacha. Avil, amirtzi Yisrael leitzia. If, let's say, the Akum wrote this document, he says, as far as I'm concerned, you own the wine, you're paid up. But the Yisrael didn't actually pay for the wine. And when the Yisrael comes to remove the wine, the Akum doesn't allow him. Avil, amirtzi Yisrael leitzia. If even if the Yisrael has this document, but if the Yisrael wants to remove the wine, the Akum says, no, I'm not going to let you remove this wine until you pay up, says the Mishnah, Zayim Maisav Beishan, such an incident occurred in Beishan, Vosra, and they said that wine is Osra. Why? Tama, Since the Akim didn't allow the Yisrael to take the wine, even though he wrote the document to the Yisrael, you're the owner, you're paid up, it shows that the Akim feels a level of ownership on this wine. And since the Akim feels this level of ownership on the wine, we need to be concerned that the Yisrael is, what do you call it, we need to be concerned that the Akim will touch it because he feels so connected to the wine. Hamanicha. But if the Akim says you could take it, so the Akim in his mind has no connection to the wine, shar. Why? Shmamina, malva, oisa, yayin, bein, and shmamina. That the wine, the guy has to feel, if the guy feels that this wine is somewhat his, the wine is usser, because he feels comfortable in touching it, otherwise not. So we learned in the Mishnah that if the Akim fell into the bar of Allah and he was pulled out, then the halacha is that the Mishnah says that the wine is mut b'hanoa asa b'shtia. However, says the Gemara, Amra Papa, lo shana al shalames, that the Akim fell in and he never drowned in that wine bit, that's when the wine is mutabanoa asa b'shtia. Aval ola chai, if they were able to pull him out alive, asa. My tama, Amra Papa, dame alek yamedam. If he's able to come out alive, so he certainly uses this as an opportunity as he's being schlepped out to thank his God that he believes in for saving him, and he therefore is making the wine into Yain Nesach. Machlaikus Rishayim. Interesting, Machlaikus Rishayim. Let's say they pull him out alive, but he's completely confused. He's completely disoriented, which is highly likely, given that he just almost drowned in a wine pit. How do we look at it? Do we say he's alive? The Gemara here says that if he's pulled out alive, the wine becomes usur. Or do we say the whole concern is that as he's being pulled out, he's thanking his God? But here, given that he's confused, he doesn't have the presence of mind to be thanking his God, and therefore it's mutan. As I said, it's machlokes rishonim. We learned in the Mishnah, Marad Bekana and the other events, and the Mishnah said, Kala Yemaisa, such events occurred, Vama Yemacher, that's the opinion of Tanakam, Rav Shimon Matam. Amr of Adbar Hava, Yenuchalai, Rav Shimon Brokos El Roishai. May Rav Shimon be breast. And as Mepharshim explained, this is one of the sources that whenever you mention the name of a tzaddik, you're supposed to give him a bracha. That's why when we mention a tzaddik who's alive, we say Shlita. Rahman Slom, when a tzaddik's not alive, we say Zatzal. Because Rav Shimon, when he says Kshumata, Mata Fil B'Shtia, he says it's completely mutter. Kshoyser, Oyser Fil Banoi, he says it's completely Osir. Amar B'Chir, Breidra, Abba Banachmeni. So Mepharshim explained, before we go further, there are many explanations. I'm just going to say one explanation. Why does Rav Shimon hold its mutter? So Rav Shimon said, the Mepharshim explained, the basis for Rav Shimon's lenient position is as follows. We've learned that the halachas we're talking about are not limited to Yayin Nesach. On the contrary, here it's clearly not Yayin Nesach. He clearly isn't doing an act of pouring or doing worshipping an Avodah Zarah. There's another gzera, which we've been discussing for many dafim, we'll continue. Stam yenam. Why stam yenam asr? Stam yenam is also because mishum v'nei sehem. We want to limit the social interaction to chas v'sham, to limit intermarriage. So says Rav Shimon, only if it's a normal situation is there a concern because of v'nei sehem and the chazal, the gzera of chazal of stam yenam apply. These aren't normal situations. This isn't a regular situation. He's not using the wine. He's not carrying it. He's just measuring it, etc. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzera. Amar Chibir, I, Dreb Abba, Ben Nechmein, Amar Chizda, Amar Av. Vamalei, Amar Chizda, Amar Ziri, Halok, Rav Shimon. Ikad Amar, Amar Chizda, Amar Li, Abba, Bachanan, Hoch, Amar Ziri, Halok, Rav Shimon. However, says the Gemara, Vayin Halok, actually the Halok is not like Rav Shimon. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, not L'chavuz V'zor, because somebody picked up a barrel and threw it. B'chamosa lebar, zayim ayis v'chshir. Amr v'ashi, kol shebezov tamei, b'vkechavim ois yayin nesach. There is a very unique tumah by Yazov. There's a tumah called tumah hesed. Tumah hesed means that if the zov, we know zov is avi, is an ava tumah, if a zov causes something, if a zov moves something, that's called tumah hesed. And the Mishnah is teaching, and the Gemara is teaching us, that whenever we have a situation of tumas hesed, oisin yayin nesach. If, on the other hand, says Rav Ashi, it would not fall into the category of Tumas Hesed. Kol Shebezov Tar, Ba'ovi Chav Enosiyayin Nesach. Explain Rashi and other Rishonim. Even though our Gemara is clearly equating the halacha of Zov to the halacha of Yayin Nesach, the Gemara doesn't mean to completely connect them. The Gemara is only speaking regarding Tumas Hesed. What would maybe be considered Masa for Zov and Masa for Yayin Nesach, that is not the subject of our Gemara. They don't travel together. The Gemara is only speaking about Tumas Hesed. And the Gemara is saying whatever is considered Tumas Hesed regarding a Zov is considered Hesed regarding Yayin Nesach. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Eser from the Ravashi, we just learned in our Mishnah, not less chavis was zokel b'chamos labar. If the akum picked up the chavis and threw it into the bar, zayu ma'aseh beisham bechshira. What does it say? It's only b'chamosoi, only because he did it out of anger. But shloi b'chamosoi, if he threw something, not in anger, it would be considered tamei. I the halacha by a zov, the gemara says by a zov, that if a Zov throws something, there is no Tumas Hesed. So if Rav Ashi is saying that Tumas Hesed and Naga Yakum travel together, why is this considered Tamei? Why would it be considered Stam Yenam? Answer the Gemara. The Mishnah is now referring to a situation where the Akum just picked up a barrel of wine and threw it into the bar. That would indeed be fine, whether it's Bechamos or not. Here's referring to a situation, the Megal, the Ozman name and A, he rolled it. He was rolling it till the pit, and then he pushed it that way into the pit. That's considered a real situation of Tumas Hesed, and therefore the halach is that wine becomes also because of Stam Yenam.